Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
A very good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here with our team of correspondents over the next hour to take a look at the sporting action coming up on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend. Coming up tonight, another hybrid weekend of league and cup action awaits in Manx football this weekend, including the first set of quarter-final fixtures in both the ECAP FA Cup and GH Corlett Woods Cup. We hear from FC Isle of Man's caretaker manager ahead of his side's clash at the Bowl tomorrow against the in-form side in the NWCFL Premier Division. In rugby, Douglas will be looking to continue their playoff hunt in Regional 2 North West at home to Firwood Waterloo tomorrow. Ramsey face a tough trip on the road in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. Vagabonds ladies are back at home at Bala Fletcher in women's NC 2 North South, and it's West versus South in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield. Elsewhere, top darts players from across the Isle of Man UK and the world have descended on Douglas for the 2026 Isle of Man International Darts Festival. And in hockey, cup final places are up for grabs on Saturday, with the semi-finals of six cup competitions taking place around the island during tomorrow. That is all to come this evening. Very good evening. You're listening to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Here for the next hour, our team of correspondents take a dive into some of the sporting action coming up on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend on what we're delighted to say has been a much more pleasant week when it comes to the elements outside. Sport has been heavily disrupted in a number of areas over the last couple of weeks due to the poor conditions, but a little bit of respite over the last couple of days. No doubt welcome for what we're going to be looking at first off here, and that is this weekend's upcoming Isle of Man football fixtures. Our football correspondent Tony Meppham joins us. Tony, again, on the weather, of course, it's just dominated the headlines in football in a lot of ways over the last couple of weeks, disrupted a lot of games out there. Now that the pitches, I suppose, have had a little bit of a breather from all the downpours and all the wind, I bet it's been very welcome for those trying to manage those pitches out there and the matches, of course.
Well, it certainly has, because there's quite a few football clubs who have had their pitches vertically drained this week. The big machine that goes in with the big stakes into the ground just to break it open, and hopefully the rain will disappear. But when you think of it, Rob, 2 weeks tomorrow, we were in monsoon conditions and losing seven games that kicked off, and at half time they were abandoned. So it just shows you how quick the weather can change. And I always say, don't panic, because once we get close to sort of March and the end of March, the weather does turn good for us and we get plenty of games in. And you'll be pleased to know that a week next Wednesday will be our first set of midweek fixtures. There won't be many, because obviously we still haven't got the light, but we've got St John's against Rushen on the first one, and then the second one there's going to be St John's against Onchan. So it's great to get some games out of the way at night time and hopefully clear this backlog.
Indeed. Speaking of midweek games, actually, just before we get to this weekend, congratulations to Onchan Under-18s. They won the Under-18s FA Cup over on Wednesday night with a 2-1 win over Corinthians. A league and cup double for Onchan. They secured the title back in January. A great season for Onchan's under-18s.
Yeah, they've done a great job up at Onchan, and well done to Andy Asbridge. And yeah, watch the game, and I think Onchan deserved it in the end, even though Corinthians took the lead, and what a goal it was. Ryan Nelson, who scored an absolute peach one. But then Preston Cleeter got one from the penalty spot, looked a penalty to me. And then the second one, it's quite a bit of a story on this one, because Liam Blake, who scored the second goal for Onchan, his dad is actually manager of Corinthians, and his brother Declan played for Corinthians under-18s as well. So there'll be an interesting conversation, I would have thought, Thursday morning over the breakfast table, but we'll leave that one there. But congratulations to Onchan, great club. And the worrying part of this one is that those players are together for the next couple of years, so it could be a bit of a rain for Onchan, 3 years on the bounce winning the under-18s.
We'll just have to wait and see. Yes, congratulations to Onchan Under-18s in midweek securing the Under-18s FA Cup. Looking to this weekend then, we've got a real hybrid of league and cup fixtures again this weekend. There's still some catch-up going on across the respective competitions because of the aforementioned weather, poor weather I should say, we've had over the last couple of weeks. Let's turn to the cup competitions first. We're due to have the first set of quarter-finals ties for both the ECAP FA Cup and GH Corlett Woods Cup. But in the ECAP FA Cup, Tony, starting with this one, still one first-round fixture to be played. It was abandoned a couple of weeks ago. You wrapped this one. It has to be replayed tomorrow at 2 o'clock kickoff. Douglas High School Old Boys at home to Onchan.
Yeah, this is the one I went to originally, and I could understand why Rob Slinger abandoned it at half-time, because it did absolutely throw it down. But when you look at Old Boys, the last game they played, I think it was full game, was against Braddon, where they lost that one. And they've just got to sort of pick themselves up and see if they can have a bit of a cup run, because I think to stay in that league is going to be a tough ask for them now. But, you know, players who could be back in there, Zach Watterson, I would think, will be in the squad. And they've got Cameron Brew, Dave Wilson, I know he was on the bench last time, but he's worthy of a starting lineup. And Andrew Ward's been in good form. So I think Old Boys will be quietly confident in the team that they've got. But, you know, Onken have been tremendous this season. And again, if all the players are fit and available, Josh Kenyick, Tom Creer, Ethan Leavers, and Carl Presley's been weighing in with the goal as well. Good goalkeeper and Callum Dawson. I think Onken will just win it, but Old Boys will make it difficult.
And the winner of this tie will face Russia, will have a home tie, I should say, against Russian United in the quarterfinals. That particular game, of course, we're awaiting the outcome of this first round fixture, and then that remaining quarterfinal still to be scheduled. The other three quarterfinals of the ECAP FA Cup, though, they're taking place tomorrow. Two of the three games kicking off at 2 o'clock. One of those sees Peel, of course, pushing for the Canada Life Men's Premier League title at the moment. Imperious form in the league up against the last round's giant killers, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Huge 3-1 win for them at home to St John's United of the Premier League. But Tony, from Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys' perspective, an exciting prospect coming up against this Peel side. But is this challenge possibly a bit too much for them?
It could be, but I'd be looking at Peel's performance before they play Paul Rose, where they only just won 2-0 against Foxdale. So it just shows you that if you could do a job on them, you've got to do a job on all 11 players, because they're very good. But let's have a look at Peel last week, because 10-0 will win against Paul Rose. Paul Rose are challenging near the top of the table, but Thomas Brown, I'm not sort of knocking him for it, but he got 4 goals, but probably 4 of the easiest goals he'll score at all in a game, because they just seem to be putting a plate for him. But when you've got the experience in there like Matthew Woods and Daniel Bell, it just sort of helps. And you know, Thomas is a tremendous goal scorer, but they've also got some other players in there. Ben Sturgeon, good to see him get included in the Ireland squad. But I thought Sam Chapman last week was very solid at the back, because unfortunately for him, Sam Kenyick, I think, was not available. And Sam came in and did a really good job. Finn Donoghue's been good right the way through. But I just think Ramsey Youth Centre, Dylan Parrish was brilliant last week. I think Tony Corlett as well got his name on the score sheet. And Tom Hall in there with the goals. Ramsey Centre will try their best, but fitness-wise, I just think Peel will pull it through and they'll go through to the semi-finals.
And Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, the only Division 2 side remaining in the competition at the moment. The other two games are all Premier League ties. Gary Moore, Union Mills, who've put in a couple of surprise results on a positive note in the last couple of weeks. They're coming up against the Canada Life Men's Premier League leaders, Corinthians.
Yeah, and you look at Union Mills, there's good players in there, and there's one or two sort of scoring freely at the moment. Jordan Crawley one, Tyler Hughes the other, but they've still got Dominic McCarry-Brennan in that team. Lewis Hicks is playing well. Owen Quayle, solid at the back. But Corinthians, pretty impressive performance last week, because when you look at it, there was no Dan Simpson, there was no Sean Doyle, there was no Luke Murray, which we know is going to probably be missing for the rest of the season. But the young players stepped in, and the under 18 squad or players, Declan Blake, Ben Ramsey, Connor Clark as well. Noah Vells isn't under 18, but he put in a good performance last week. And I think Jack Moyer, playing out of position, normally in midfield, played centre back. And Ryan Nelson scored a belter on Wednesday, scored a belter last week, and he's in good form. But Sean Doyle is back in. Dan Simpson, we'll wait and see. He'll have a fitness test in the morning. But I think I'm going to go with Corinthians. But Union Mills pitch, even though with good weather, Rob, I still think it'll be a little bit sticky. That might play into Union Mills' hands.
Okay, and the other game, don't have any worries about the pitch here, because of course it's at the Bowl, and it's an earlier kickoff, slightly earlier at 1:45 p.m. Tony, this is where you're going to be for Saturday Live tomorrow. St Mary's really pushed up the Canada Life Men's Premier League in league terms over the last few weeks, third in that table at the moment, and 5 points clear of Onken in fourth. They're going to host Braddon, Tony, and Braddon 11th in the Premier League and 8 points above the drop zone at the moment, but of course got a big result against Laxey in a previous round as well.
Yeah, they did superb, Braddon against Laxey, but then you've got, not to look too far down, the results of recent weeks where St Mary's beat Braddon 7-2. So it just shows you maybe the difference between the two squads. But St Mary's, I just wonder how many of the Dream Team players could be in there, because don't forget, in the combination, you've got people like Sammy Gellin playing, you've had Jack McVeigh, you've had Frank Jones. So, excuse me, you've just got to, you know, try and close them down. But Joe Burquist was brilliant. recently. He got a hat-trick. Matthew Kentloy got a couple as well. And Therese Thompson's been scoring regularly. But for Braddon, Joel Ibanez, Thomas Healy, Liam Sale on the score sheet last time, Joe Burrow's strong at the back. They'll be looking to see if they can beat St Mary's. But I think it's a different team playing against St Mary's to it is Laxey. But you never know. And I think Will Smith will try and plan it around it.
Very well. That's the EGAB FA Cup quarterfinals tomorrow. One game in the GH Cullet Woods Cup quarterfinals tomorrow, also a 2 o'clock kickoff. Douglas Royal, sixth in Division 2 at the moment, up against aforementioned Pulrose United, who are fourth in Division 2 at the moment. Not too much separating these teams in league terms, Tony, just 6 points.
No, there isn't, but I think, you know, Pulrose will look at last week's performance and be disappointed the way it went for them because, you know, you could see it. Parts of the game, they could play football, but you know, Peel just didn't allow them, you know, to push forward. And you know, Russell Dawson in goal, I felt sorry for him because he's a good goalkeeper, but to concede 10 can be hard. Noah Canapa hardly had a kick in the game, you know, at goal. So Barry English as well, but I think Douglas Royal. The last time they started the game off, and I think it finished just before half time. And you know, Bailey Ashton's been scoring for fun. He got four in his last performance, and when you look at a young player coming through, Harley Bonus, really good young player, but good to see Paddy Dempsey back in, Stuart Foley as well. They're not so young, but still got better experience, and if they can keep them going, it could go the way for Douglas Royal. It's all to play for, but I think Paul Rose will just win it.
Those are your cup competitions. Turning to the league action then this weekend in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, 2:30 p.m. kickoff. These games, three games. Laxey, Tony, who have obviously had a very strong start to the season, just seem to have dropped off the pace of the top five above them in the last few weeks or so. They're going to be at home to St John's United. So Laxey in sixth, St John's United in seventh here, and St John's 4 points behind Laxey starting the day. But crucially, St John's United have only played 13 this season compared to someone like Corinthians at the top on 18. So for St John's United, there's still ground to make up here.
Yeah, there is, and I think St John's know that. Last week, okay, they struggled a little bit against Ramsey Youth Centre. So you just look at that and you say, what went wrong? Well, you can understand when you've got people like Sam Ingham, Reese Oates missing, but they've still got quality in there. They can score goals all over. Dean Lees, Jamie Cook can weigh in with goals. Callum Taggart can as well. So if St John's can sort the defence out, then they're in with a chance against Laxey. But you know, when you look at Laxey, as you've already picked up on, beaten by Ramsey 2-1. Ed Canner's goals seem to have dried up a little bit, so if they could get him going again, could be different. Joe Walters could be the provider because he's a good player and could score goals, but you've also got good players in there. Cameron Avery, Ethan Hawley, I don't think is available. We've got Adam Meelan in there and also Charlie Robinson. They're a good side. It's a difficult one to predict. I'm going to stay safe on this one and go for a draw.
Very well. And at Croyte Lowy, Rushen United, so they start this weekend, fifth in the table, 2 points behind Onken, who are of course in cup action this weekend. So Rushen United could leapfrog Onken into fourth if they're able to get a home victory against the Foxdale side, Tony, that they've only played 12 games this season at the moment, still yet to get their first win on the board.
Yeah, it is. And you know, Foxdale know that, but I think Foxdale have really improved since Christmas. I think Anthony Cork or whatever he's done, and I've seen the team sheets, and there's a lot of new players in there, and I'll see if I can get the name right. Ken Wandy, I think it is. Scamba, I watched him. He's quick and he's a good player. So they've got a great opportunity to bring these young players through. Jason Chatwood's still there. So while you've got a player of his ability, you're always in with a chance to win a game. Liam Cannon and Scott Cameen are good, strong players. But when you look at Rushen, big defeat last week, I thought, 3-1 against Ayr United. And again, when you look at players there, Cameron Dudley, Lachlan Denham, you've also got Joe Kelly. I rate them big time. But Stevie Riding's still out there and Jack Gilbert as well. I'm going to go for Rushen to win. I have to on that one. And maybe just last week's performance was a bit of a blip.
Third and final game in the Premier League this weekend is a Northern showdown up at Andrews Playing Fields, Ayr United. So we're eighth in the table going into the weekend up against a Ramsey team that are 10th in the table. But like St John's, we mentioned before, they've only played 13 games. So still a fair bit of catch up for Ramsey to be doing.
Yeah, there is. And they just had a bit of a problem with the pitch, but hopefully that's going now. And credit to everyone that's worked on it, because they've got a great band of players, ex-players, who pitch in and mend the pitch and everything. But as you rightly say, lost to Corinthians 4-0. Mason Prince will probably be in goal. But when you look at players there, you've got Callum Hudson and Jamie Collett. They played FC Alaman this year. So, you know, there's quality there at the back. Tom Chattel can score goals up front. Jamie Agnew as well, playing on that wing, can cause problems. I think I'm right in saying Andrew Cleater in midfield and Preston Cleater, who scored in the under-18s game, his father and son. Fair play to those two. But Matthew Jauncey as well will add a little bit of steel in the Ramsey team. But United, great result 7 days ago. Declan Cummins back in the team. Chris Curtis and Alfie Scott got a goal apiece. Good goalkeeper in Andy Ball. Jamie Callister's, you know, so important at the back there for them. But you can't sort of look at it and say, well, we haven't got Harry Best, we haven't got Sean Kelly, so it's going to be a bit of a struggle. I think Air United will beat Ramsey because at the moment they're playing with a lot of confidence.
Okay, then turning to Ardern and Drigon Limited Division 2, and after that massive Southern derby between the top two last weekend, top of the table is as follows. Colby leading the way on 41 points after that big win over second place Castletown, who now trail Colby by 4 points at the top of the table, and Castletown 10 points clear of Ramsey Centre and All Boys just outside the promotion places in third. Turning our attention to Colby, it's another Southern derby for them, so not a long journey for them. They're going to be heading to Maloo.
Yeah, it's all coming through thick and fast, isn't it, for Colby? And I was looking at sort of how many games they've still got to play, and there's an awful lot of games, but what a superb 4-1 victory against Castletown. Steve Collister and Jordan Edge with goals on that. Greg Radcliffe got one as well. You throw in Carl Hickey, Ollie Edge. You can see why Colby are doing so well, but I think there's going to be a little bit of, interchange between the players, because when you look at last year, Paul Whitley, Adam Pate, Jay Gandy, they were playing for Colby. So, it's one of them. You know, they're playing against the club that they sort of played for a while. But I think Maloo will find it tough, and I'm going to go for Colby to win.
Elsewhere, Moran in fifth. Well, they could actually move all the way up to third with a win this weekend if they're able to overcome St George's at Memorial Playing Fields.
Yeah, and I think St George's, again, are just rebuilding. They've still got two or three workhorses in there. Johnny Quirk's done really well scoring goals. Nick Bass is in the team. Lee Bass as well. George Kizik always does well for Geordies. But with Moran, that 6-0 win against Governors and goals shared, and there's plenty of good goal scorers in there. Alex Marley, 1. Connor Gilbert, 2. Michael Hughes as well. Harry Horby, great goalkeeper. I'm going to go from round to him.
Third and final fixture in Division 2 this weekend is the meeting of the two teams propping up the table at the moment, and a chance for both these teams to potentially either or get their first win of the season, both of them winless at the moment in the league. Governors Athletic against Douglas and District.
Yeah, but they both work so hard, both clubs, Douglas Athletic and D&D behind the scenes, to keep everything going. I noticed Jeff Murphy's been included in Governor's squad now, so Jeff's a good goal scorer, even though season pro. Billy Sweeney will be happy with that one, and Diogo Vicente's there as well, could score goals. But D&D, they lost 5-0 to Douglas Royal in the last game, and reliant on people like Paul Gavin, Richard Radcliffe and Will Smith and Brian Tung as well to put in good performance to try and get the points. It'll be a tough game. I'll just go for Governor's.
Quick look at the combination leagues then, starting with the Canada Life combination one. So a quick state of play at the top of the table. Just 1 point separates the top four at the moment in combination one. What a season this league is having. Peel at the top on 35 points. Corinthians in second and Russian United third, also on 35 points. Peel leading by virtue of goal difference. They've got a game in hand over Corinthians and 2 games in hand over Russian United. And in fourth at the moment, Ramsey are only a point behind all those three on 34 points. Tony, 5 games in combination one this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely massive. Let's pick the big one. Ramsey against Peel, and my apologies to Ramsey last week, because I did predict Corinthians to win, and actually Corinthians lost 8-0, so I'm not very good at this, Rob. But well done to Ramsey. But against Peel, when you look at the goal difference between Peel and the rest of them, it's absolutely massive for Peel. Big plus side on it, so I'm going to go for Peel just to win it. But it just depends, because Ramsey have got some really good players in there. Foxdale against St Mary's, you have to go with St Mary's if the older players are in there. Onken against Laxey, I'll go with Onken. St John's against Douglas High School Old Boys, go with our Old Boys to win. And Braddon against Corinthians, I know Corinthians got a few players back in there, I'll go for Corinthians to beat Braddon.
And running out the combination leagues is, of course, Ardern and Drigon Limited combination 2. 4 games there this weekend. Again, a quick look at towards the top of the table. Pulrose United steaming away at the moment. 16 wins from 17, just the one defeat so far. They're 8 points clear of Ramsey Centre and All Boys in second, and Douglas Athletic in third. Ramsey Centre and All Boys ahead of Douglas Athletic by virtue of goal difference, and those two in turn a further 7 points clear of Colby in fourth. So Pulrose United moving away at the top still at the moment. 4 games in combination 2 this weekend.
Yeah, Colby against Pulrose. Pulrose, I think, have got a bit of a problem this weekend, Rob, because I think there's quite a few players away for them, so it's going to affect both sides. So they're going to have combination players step up. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm going to go for a draw, that Colby against Paul Rose. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Douglas Royal. You look at the league table, you've got to go with Ramsey Youth Centre. Castletown against Michael, I'll go with Castletown. And St George's against Moran, I'm going to go for Moran to take the victory.
So those are Saturday's fixtures. All of Saturday's league matches getting underway at 2:30 p.m. in the ECAP FA Cup first round and ECAP FA Cup quarterfinals, 2 o'clock kickoffs, with the exception of St Mary's and Braddon at 1:45 p.m. in the Woods Cup. The only game there is a 2 o'clock kickoff. Sunday then, three games in the Canada Life Women's League.
Yeah, and just one, if people are wondering what's happening, because last week we lost all the cup games, I went for the league programme to stay purely Douglas Royal, Peel and Corinthians. Pitches are in good condition, so I thought I'll play safe. So that full round will be moved to the 28th of March. But Douglas Royal against Rushen, I'm going to go for Douglas Royal to win. Peel against Onken, I'll go with Peel. And Corinthians against Malou, I'm going to go for Corinthians.
And last but certainly not least on Sunday, we've got a doubleheader in the Masters football at the Bowl.
Yeah, there's a right humdinger going on in this Masters football as well. Some really good teams. Corinthians had a great victory in the last game against Ayr United. Against Old Boys, different kettle of fish, but the team's looking good for Corinthians, so I'm going to go for a battle, but I think Old Boys will win it. And Laxey against Union Mills are another team that are looking to home in on that Masters title, and I think Union Mills will beat Laxey.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Elsewhere, and 10 games remain in FC Isle of Man's season, and the Ravens will be hoping to keep up their recent good run of home form in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend. While chasing a fifth match unbeaten, the Manx side face a tough task against Atherton Laburnum Rovers, who will head to the island off the back of 8 consecutive victories and are currently 13 unbeaten. Well, FC Isle of Man's caretaker manager Rick Holden has been speaking with Dave Moore this week. Holden acknowledges the challenge they'll face tomorrow night, but also believes there were positives to take from their defeat to Atherton in the reverse fixture between the sides in January.
The form side, we didn't know much about them when we played them at their place, and it was an odd game. We were short on numbers, as we are this weekend, to be honest, and we put a scratch side out, but we did very well, and the score flattered them, and they admitted it. Had people watch the game over, so we created a lot of chances, but they're a tough side and they're the form side in the league, so it'll be a tough game this.
Is it a case maybe they had more to play for than you did?
Not at the time. No, I don't think so at all. I think we weren't, and we still aren't, nobody is mathematically safe, but we were still wanting to amass points and get away from the bottom. I mean, that's my job, to come in and make sure we don't go down. So we had just as much to play for as them. I just think they were better equipped on the night, and when we got it back to 1-1, we'd missed a couple of chances, and then they got a really good goal to 2-1, and then we chased it. We might as well chase it, and then we conceded one at the death, so it's not a lot, innit?
The draw with Abbey Hay, 2-2 at the end of just over 90 minutes.
So Abbey Hay was a tough game, and we expected it. It was just mad how it finished. And it sort of thumbs us up where we've been with refs and authority all season. So didn't deserve to finish like that. And everyone's pretty annoyed about it, to be honest. You know, I'm still struggling with, as I think everybody is, with interpretation of mandatory things, such as bookings for pulling shirts and stripping people up blatantly. Should be mandatory bookings and they're not. And then arbitrary sort of decisions made when that's occurred, you know. And then It seems like they're falling between two stools of rest at the moment. It was bad news, and we ended up with Al Maitland being sent off and conceding the goal in the last minute. Peter, if the fans want entertainment, come and watch us, because something's bound to happen.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but in terms of the Fair Play League, you're bottom.
I know we are.
Yeah.
And it's astounding how we are, because we're not a dirty side, but we seem to... This is one of the big bugbears I've had. They're very honest, our lot, and we get punted. The number of times players go down feigning injuries on the opposition side and we get booked for it, it's unbelievable. And the rest, they're not falling for it. They just accept it and say, oh, it must have been a bad foul. So in the last 10 minutes of Abbey Hay, we were giving free kicks away all the time for absolutely nothing. We seem to cop the rough end of it, and we're not a dirty side. It's really bizarre. So we are getting badly done to. And I've complained about it, saying, you know, we had one game against Oaks and Villa away where we got, they scored what should have been for them a winner, 3-2, in sort of 90-odd minute. And then when they'd scored it, they were celebrating. Their keeper went down at the other end of the pitch, clutching his face to waste time. And then of course, it backfired on him because we equalised on the something like 96th minute. But stuff like that going on is just totally against the spirit of the game. We are getting the rough end of the stick. I mean, I'm not telling them to go out there and foul people or mimic injury or anything like that.
That was FC Isle of Man caretaker manager Rick Holden speaking to Dave Moore there. Well, FC Isle of Man versus Atherton Laburnum Rovers takes place at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow night with kickoff at 6 p.m. And if you're not heading down to the Bowl in person, we've got you covered here at Manx Radio. We'll be bringing you full live match commentary of that clash on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Tony, just very quickly bring you back in on this. So FC Isle of Man chasing 5 games unbeaten at home. It's been a bit of an uplift in form for them. No doubt a positive for Holden and his team, but coming up against an Atherton side that have just been barnstorming this league in recent months.
Yeah, that's the only difficulty with it. But then look at Withenshaw and how FC Isle of Man dealt with that one. And they're playing some good football and there's different players coming in. And I think it's looking really good. Rick's done a great job defensively. You know, sometimes it can be a little bit harsh the way Rick wants to play because he loves the wings. But fair play to them. And if they did get the result out of it, I'll be listening to you. Then happy days.
And just very quickly on top of that as well, we heard him just there in his chat with Dave Moore there that, you know, expecting a couple more absences in the squad this weekend. And of course, Alex Maitland now suspended after being sent off against Abbey Hay last weekend as well. So if there are key personnel missing, I suppose it's up to others to step up to the plate and take their opportunity.
Well, there is. And I think certainly defensively, you know, I would think Callum Sherry will probably come across now and play someone else at right back and he'll play alongside Carl Clark. But I think just right the way through the whole team, Rick's not frightened to play a player out of position. And I think that's what he's doing really, really well. He's getting the best out of some players out of position. And I think that's what's working for FC Isle of Man.
Just very quickly got around 40 seconds or so here, but Tony, you're not joining us in the commentary booth this weekend, but for FC Isle of Man, if they can pick up results in the next couple of weeks, given they have a tough run of away fixtures right at the end of the season, as Rick said, mathematically they're certainly not safe at this point, but getting results over the next 2 or 3 weeks, how important could this be in their season to getting that security?
It is important because I say it every year to you, Rob, somewhere towards the end of the season, is that it's so, so important to try and finish as high up in the league as you can, because it just sort of puts a good vibe in the club and then you set yourself up for the 26-27 season. But let's face it, at the start of the season, we were really worried. Rick's come in, he's done a really good job and now it's looking solid.
Excellent, Tony Mebbin, thank you very much indeed. Well, coming up after the break, we'll be taking a look at another busy rugby schedule, including Douglas trying to stay in the playoff hunt in Regional 2 North West, and also cup final places up for grabs in Manx hockey this weekend. Last 4 ties across 6 competitions. We're back in a couple of moments.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
You're listening to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is approaching 6:05, turning our attention now to another busy rugby schedule this weekend. Several teams from the Isle of Man in action, both on Ireland and further afield. Douglas trying to stay in the playoff hunt in Regional 2 North West after a tough run of form over recent weeks. Ramsey have a tough trip away from home in Counties 3, ADM Lancashire and Cheshire Vagabonds. Ladies returning to action on home soil in Women's NC 2 North South, and it is West versus South in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield. To go through everything as usual, our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, will turn to Douglas first of all. Coming up for them is a home tie against Firwood Waterloo at Portishee tomorrow. Looking at the table, of course, there's 5 places separating these two sides. Douglas in 5th and Firwood Waterloo in 2nd. But I imagine, Dave, going into something like this, that doesn't really tell the whole story of what these two teams can provide tomorrow.
No, not at all, Rob. The game away against Firwood Waterloo was a solid win for Douglas. There was only 4 points in it, but 4 points is the difference between a win and a defeat. And Douglas picked up points on the road. They need to do the same at home. We're getting very, very close to the pointy end of the season. And Douglas need to finish inside the top 4. They've got a great opportunity to steal a march tomorrow. The leaders, North Ribblesdale, are playing 2nd place Sandbach. I think 3rd place Vale of Loon are playing 5th place Widnes. So there's plenty of opportunity there for Douglas to steal a march, depending on how those other results go. And they've got a home advantage. They've got a team who've only won 6 out of 18. Yes, there's only a few places difference between them and the table, but as you say, that's not the real picture. Away is difficult. Coming to the Isle of Man is difficult. Early start, late finish. You can't necessarily get all your players to commit to the trip. And Douglas with home advantage, big crowd down there at Portishee with Six Nations on afterwards. It's got a recipe for success for Douglas. And I think cheered on by their home side, it should be a good thing for them. Looking at the team sheet, still got no Liam Kirkpatrick. He's been missing now for 7 weeks by my calculation. And Simon Hodinot missing, a player who's very important for them in the front row. But aside from that, the team's pretty much as you'd expect it. Skipper Blake Snell has managed to shake off his injury that's kept him out for a little while. And I think Douglas should go great guns. Weather forecast good. We should have good handling conditions. Pitch should be okay-ish. Maybe a little bit soft down there at Portishee, but then it generally is. I think they've got a fantastic chance to take 5 points.
Yeah, Douglas and looking to improve on a run that's seen them win only two of their last nine in Regional 2 North West. So the Douglas team to face Firwood Waterloo tomorrow at Portishee. That is a 1:30 p.m. Kickoff down there. Here's your Douglas team. Starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 in order is as follows. It is Connor Garland, Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Captain Blake Snell, Ethan Kermode, Mark Oldfield, Blake Everson, Harry Cartwright, Nathan Robson, Josh Duncan, Ollie Corkish, Matty Wood, Harry Hewson, Kyle Martin and Sheldon Higgins. And three substitutes for Phil Kringle's side. They are Richard Bell, Ian Larson and Will Kermode. Elsewhere, County 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. Ramsey are going to be on the road at one of the current frontrunners, if you like, towards the top of the division, Oral. Now, Dave, of course, in the last couple of weeks, as you've mentioned before, the league has split. Top 7 and bottom 7. The top 7 is the major conference league, the bottom 7 the minor conference league. But this isn't part of that second phase of games, is it? So for those who don't know the situation of this game, could you just explain it a little bit?
Yeah, I think the technical term for it is a right bloody mess. However, we can't legislate for the weather.
And I'm not sure that is the technical term, Dave, whatever you want to go with at this point.
The game should have been played back in January. It was called off because of the weather. I think it was snow and ice on the runway at Ronald's Way off the top of my head. The problem that we have with the hangover from the first phase of the competition is that points from phase one are carried into phase two. Oral fancy their chances and they don't want to go into phase two without having the points from this game. They've been going great guns, though, right? Because they've found some money from somewhere and they're paying former Crosscode international Denny Solomona, who's played rugby league for Samoa, I think, off the top of my head. And he's also played rugby union for Sale Sharks and England. Denny Solomona is only part-time. He's doing a bit of coaching there more than anything else. But he may pop up in the centres tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see, which will give the Ramsey backline a little bit of a workout. But that's why Oral are going good. They fancy their chances for promotion. They want to go up. And they'll want to take maximum points from the game. What we do see from some of the results, though, from phase one is that, yeah, there was a big result for Ramsey away at Bury. They lost 116-0. That was only because there was a wedding in the club that day and a lot of players couldn't make the trip. But fair play to the guys who went as well. No disrespect intended to them. The away game at Oldham and away at Duckenfield, which were towards the end of phase one, Ramsey was just starting to fire on more than two out of the four cylinders, maybe three and a little bit. And they upset the apple cart at Oldham, who thought they were in a little bit of trouble. Away at Duckenfield, they went 26-0 down at half-time. Duckenfield took two of their best players off and sent them off to play with the second team on an adjacent pitch and had to call them back. Because Ramsey won the second half 8-0. So if Oral take Ramsey too lightly, there'll be trouble for them. However, not everything works as well as it should at this part of the season. There had to be some changes to the Ramsey team, but they're minimal. And if the guys give a good account of themselves, it shouldn't be a bad result.
Never a simple day at the office, is it, when it comes to rugby? So, yes, the Ramsey team to face Oral then in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire tomorrow is as follows. So from numbers 1 to 15 in order is Joe Flanagan, Adam Dunlop, Matt Livesey, Harry Parsons, Jacob Cateen, Stephen Neal, Matthew Meekin, Captain Josh Cateen, Dan Kelly, Tom Moffat, Braden Roche, Scott Neal, Kieran Neal, Brandon Atchison and Jake Richmond, three substitutes for Ramsey. They are Miol Flynn, Joey Callow and Michael Ward. Well, after a week's break, Vagabonds Ladies are back in action in Women's NC2 North South this weekend, hoping to stay in touch with some of the top teams in the division. And they do have themselves a decent opportunity on home soil because they're coming up against a Bury side who are yet to win this season, Dave.
Yeah, I seem to recall saying that with a Douglas trip not so long ago. They were playing the team that were at the bottom of the table and winless and ended up losing Altrincham Kersall, I think, off the top of my head. So, yeah, Vaggers Ladies against Bury. Home advantage for Vaggers. Bury won't want to make the trip, I wouldn't have thought, not on a Six Nations weekend at least. And Vaggers, yeah, they're missing Maylin Campbell. She's off down in the Pacific enjoying herself. But they've got plenty of talent up there, some new talent being unearthed as well. Bea O'Neill has been great. She scored, I think, 3 tries in the last 2 games. Normally in the back row, she was playing centre in the game away at Macclesfield. She's back into the back row tomorrow. And Corinna Daly, who made her first and probably her last appearance in the number 10 jersey against Macclesfield, she's back in a more familiar number 8, which will suit her because she gets the run with the ball tucked under her arm. Very difficult to stop once she gets a head of steam going. Freya Crowe's into the centres as well. That's going to be great because she's a rangy runner, and if she gets the ball in any kind of space, she's going to be gone. That's a game we're covering for Saturday Live as well, so we'll be up there to capture all the action from 1:30 onwards.
Indeed, and your Vagabonds ladies team to face Bury then in women's NC2 North South tomorrow at Bala Fletcher is as follows. It's Becca Hicks, Sharon McCarrick, Maisie Murray, PJ Solis, Georgie Quayle, Charlotte Hurd, Corinna Daly, B. O'Neill, Sammy Mack, Lauren Ellison, Leona McGovern, Freya Crowe, Holly Shea, Rosina McNair and Gabby D'Oliveira, and 3 substitutes for Vagabonds ladies, Christine Miller, Iona Lee and Greba Tazier. Last but certainly not least this weekend, Dave, Hartford Home's Manx Shield action out in the west of the island. It's West versus South as Western Vikings host Southern Nomads tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, Douglas Celts were the runaway leaders early on, and I think my calculations are correct, at least. A Southern Nomads win tomorrow will put them within touching distance of the Celts. Obviously, you've got to still favour the Celts. They've got the advantage. Impetus is with them. They're going great guns in the Manx Cup as well. But, yeah, Western Vikings, Southern Nomads. The Nomads had their last run out, and I think a Rob Crane from the back 3 scored 2 tries. And there were 2 tries for somebody else as well. It was last weekend. I should remember this. But I don't, so I'll skip over it. You know, Nomads are going well at home. They'll go well away as a 2. Western Vikings have been struggling personnel-wise. Skipper Ed Knight scored for Vagabonds last week. He guested for Vagabonds. He scored the final try in that game against Ramsey. So he's on form too. Harry Goodwin has also been playing regularly for Vagabonds. So there's plenty of vavoom in that Vikings side. But I just think the way that the Nomads work together and link their forwards and backs together is just going to be too much for a Vikings side who haven't been having that much game time. And I think we'll see Douglas Celts and Southern Nomads a little bit closer together tomorrow night in the league table.
Very well. Dave Christian, thank you very much in the meantime. Dave Christian back with us on Manx Radio on Saturday Live tomorrow for live reporting from Women's NC2 North South Vagabonds Ladies versus Bury. We're going to be taking a look at hockey after this short break, where we take a look at the cup competitions with places in 6 finals up for grabs during semi-final ties tomorrow.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
You're listening to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. The time is just approaching 17 minutes past 6, and now we're turning our attention to hockey. League action takes a bit of a backseat this weekend because the focus is back on the respective cup competitions, and a very important weekend it is because cup finals places for the cup finals in April, in just over a month's time. In fact, those cup final places are up for grabs because we've got the last 4 ties across the men's and ladies cup, plate and bowl competitions across the island this weekend. Games getting underway from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Joining us now is our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. Ben, busy old weekend for Isle of Man hockey, and a lot of these teams, well, they'll be wanting those places in the finals, won't they?
Absolutely, it's been a busy week. My phone hasn't stopped. There's been team news galore coming in from all the fixtures. So yeah, really big weekend and plenty of opportunities here for some cup upsets and potentially some big finals.
Indeed. Now, we do have a couple of games that won't be taking place this weekend. We'll come to those in due course. But let's turn to those semi-finals ties taking place throughout Saturday. And we'll start with the Men's Cup semi-finals. So both of these games were due to take place at the NSC, but only one of those fixtures now being played. We'll start with, Ben, the fixture that is being played in the Men's Cup semi-finals, 12:35 at the NSC. And that's Vikings A against Castletown A. And Vikings A, strong start in the Men's Premier League this season, but this Castletown A side in previous seasons have caused them some upsets here and there.
Yeah, Castletown have caught them out once or twice in the league. But when you look at the league tables at the minute, of course, Vikings currently sat in second. Castletown A currently sat second from bottom. Looking on league form, you would favour Vikings to come out on top on this one. But as we say, Rob, every time, every week, you can never rule out a Castletown team causing an upset.
Indeed. And the other Men's Cup semi-final that was due to take place at the NSC was the 11:05 pushback between Backers A, the current Men's Premier League leaders, and Vikings B, bottom of the table, incidentally. That game has actually been awarded as a home walkover to Backers A, because Vikings B sadly are unable to field a team this time around. So Backers A automatically booked their place in the Men's Cup final, looking to defend their title from last season. The Ladies' Cup semi-finals, however, both of those semi-finals will be taking place tomorrow, those two at the NSC. At 2:05, the current Ladies' Premier League leaders, Valkyries A, up against Harlequins A, Ben.
Yeah, and this is the game we're going to go and cover for Saturday Live. It'll be a really close game, I think. Valkyries A have been really good this season, having a great season, really challenging Castletown A at the top of the Ladies' Premier League. And of course, if Valkyries were to win this game against Harlequins, they could face Castletown in the final. And if last week's game is anything to go by, it was a stalemate. So could be a feisty affair.
Yeah, just to clarify my previous point, and as Ben's rightly pointed out there, Valkyries A, they are up at the top of the table, but they are not the top side at the moment. They and Castletown A, both on 9 points. Castletown A only ahead by one goal on goal difference. But yeah, just to clarify that. 3:35 at the NSC, that sees Castletown A, the Ladies' Premier League leaders, up against Vikings A, second from bottom in the league at the moment, Ben. But of course, this is a cup competition. A lot can change.
Definitely, a lot can change, because in cup competitions in Manx hockey, once you play for one team, you are stuck in that team. So as soon as that team is eliminated for the competition, you cannot play for any other team in your club. So all the teams have to be carefully selected. Vikings A, though, I'm sure they'll be wanting to maybe get a good run here, maybe get themselves into the final and make amends for really not a good season in their eyes in the Premier League. But for Castletown A, I'm sure they'll want to defend that title. So if I had to pick a winner, looking on form, Castletown A.
Then we turn to the respective plate competitions. All the games across the men's and ladies' plate semi-finals this weekend will take place at QE2 in Peel. 11:05 pushback at QE2 sees the current top two in men's Division 1. This could be an eye-opening contest, Ben, between Ramsey A, who are, well, they've actually dropped down to third, my apologies as well, on goal difference. So Ramsey third in the table, up against Backers B, who are top of the table.
Yeah, and this is the game I'm umpiring in the morning at Peel. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a close game for sure. I think I did put it in my preview, though, on Manx Radio, that I think this game potentially could go to flicks, because, again, like we've just said before, in cup competitions, once you play for one team, you are stuck in that team. So the B team that Backers B could have in the league might not be the B team that they have here in the cup.
It's very true, something to consider, but if Backers B's forms anything to go by in the league, 7 wins from 7, 47 goals scored and just the 2 conceded. They've been rampant in the league this season, but this is the cup and a lot of things can change. The other men's plate semi-final that was going to take place between Castletown B and Harlequins B, that has been awarded as a home walkover to Castletown B, so Castletown B into the final, Harlequins B unable to field a team. In the ladies' plate semi-finals, 12:35 pushback, that sees Vikings B up against Backers B.
Yeah, and this game, if people haven't heard, was originally meant to be at Ramsey. This is now being put to QE2 with that 12:30 game in the men's plate being cancelled. Vikings B, a little bit of a dip in form recently. Backers B, though, have had a good run of form coming into this fixture. Could Vikings B get their form back for this game? It'd be interesting, but Backers B, like I say, coming in onto this game on a good run of form.
and undefeated in Ladies Division 1, 5 wins and 2 draws from their 7 games so far. The other Ladies Plate semi-final sees Ramsier, 3rd in Ladies Division 1 up at the moment, up against Valkyrsby, just a point above them in 2nd. And again, that is the league, separate from the Cup, Ben, but 2nd versus 3rd in the league in the Cup. That could be an interesting contest.
Absolutely, and another one that I think potentially could go to Flicks. Of course, Valkyrsby, the current holders of the Ladies Plate, so they'll want to make sure that they retain that title. Ramsier, though, they've had a few games where they've not looked quite there, but when they have been there, though, they have been absolutely ruthless and been scoring plenty of goals. So could Ramsey show up here on the day, or will Valkyrsby carry on their form and go and retain their title?
When it comes to the league, actually, just a bit of stat to put to you. Ramsier have the best defensive record in Ladies Division 1 at the moment, just the 5 goals conceded. The men's and ladies' bowl competitions then turn into the men's bowl semi-finals first off. By the way, all the bowl fixtures across the men's and ladies' competitions this weekend taking place at Castle Rushen High School in the south of the island. In the men's bowl first, 5-2 pushback. Backers Colts, top of men's Division 2, up against Viking C, 2nd in men's Division 2.
Yeah, and these two only met 2 weeks ago, where Backers Colts did beat Viking C in the league. So it'll be interesting to see if Backers Colts have got the strong team that they had for that fixture again for this fixture this weekend. Viking C, though, they've been looking really good. Okay, they've had one or two slip-ups in the league and they've now dropped from being top, and Backers Colts are now sitting above them. But first v second, this could be very close.
And then the other game, the men's bowl semi-finals tomorrow, 3:35, of course, at Castle Rushen High School. Harlequins C versus Castletown C. And Ben, Castletown 4th in the table, Harlequins 5th in men's Division 2, both level on points.
Yeah, it's going to be a close one, this one as well. I think both of these finals will be very, very both of these semi-finals will be very close in the bowl. Of course, Backers C coming into this one on the better run of form, but Harlequins C, newly formed side, they've made a good statement for themselves this season, and could they round it off by getting into finals day? Wait and see.
And in the ladies' bowl semi-finals at Castle Rushen High School tomorrow, the earliest pushback there, 11:05, sees Vikings C, who are 6 defeats from their opening 6 in ladies' Division 2, will be hopeful of some respite in the Cup. They're going to be coming up against Castletown D.
Yeah, of course, Vikings C sitting bottom, Castletown D just above them. But, of course, Vikings C have been really giving it a good go this season, and I know they've been using this Viking C team as a development team to bring up some of their young up-and-coming players, as has Castletown D. So it'll be interesting to see what sides both teams field on the day.
And in the other fixture, 12:35 at Castle Rushen High School, it's the current Ladies Division 2 leaders, Ramsey B. In the league, at least, they're unbeaten. 4 wins and a draw from their opening 5. They're going to be coming up against Valkyrs C.
And when these two met 2 weeks ago, Ramsey did come away with the win, a 4-0 win there over Valkyrs C. So can the Northerners do it again over Valkyrs C, or will Valkyrs C get one back over them on the day? I think potentially that one might go to Flicks.
Okay, so those are the Cup semi-finals tomorrow across the Isle of Man. Details on our website. Just a quick mention as well, Mixed Under-15s League. There were 3 fixtures due to be played this weekend. There's now only 2, and they are Harlequins versus Backers, 12:35pm at King Williams College. And then at 3:35pm at King Williams College is Castan Sabres versus Vikings. There was another game due to take place between Valkyrs and Ramsey Rogues and Rascals. That's now been awarded as a home walkover to Valkyrs because Ramsey unable to field a team. Ben, just very quickly as well, only got about 20 seconds, but we do have one of the Island teams in action this weekend as well.
Yes, so the Island ladies over 45s are heading across this weekend to take part in their England Hockey Championship game. We wish them all the best. I'm sure team news will be out on Manx Radio, so yeah.
Excellent, Ben, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
And finally tonight, the 2026 Isle of Man International Darts Festival is underway at the Villa Marina in Douglas, with players from the Isle of Man, UK and across the world taking part, featuring no fewer than 4 World Darts Federation ranked events. The tournament also has an overall prize pot of around £34,000. And it's also a special year for the festival, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary in 2026, and over the decades has welcomed some of the biggest names in the sport, including Phil Taylor, Eric Bristow, Luke Littler and Beau Greaves. Well, Chair of England Darts, Tommy Thompson, has been telling us on Manx Radio this week what makes makes the Isle of Man Festival such a special occasion on their season calendar?
I think from my perspective, and a lot of people, once you get them to the Isle of Man, they always want to come back because it is very unique, you know, because not only have we got the event that's on at the Villa Marina, but the people within the Isle of Man at the pubs and the clubs and everywhere welcome everybody and they always remember us. And that's fantastic. You know, they're really nice people on the island. I always say to people, it's got to be on your bucket list. The Isle of Man Open, no matter where else you go in the world playing darts, the Isle of Man has got to be on your bucket list.
And speaking of the event, when it comes to, I suppose, its place in England darts, it's got quite a special status, this one, because the Open tournament, for example, is a gold World Darts Federation ranked event. How significant is it for that tournament to have that status?
Well, we wouldn't be able to do it without the support of the government for a start off. Because it does actually cost a quite deal of money to get a gold status. But the great thing about having a gold status is for the men's and the ladies open, they will get a direct entry into the Lakeside World Championships in December. And then you can only do that with a gold status. There is no more gold statuses in the UK, in England, Scotland or Wales. This is the only one.
And of course, over the years as well, the Isle of Man Festival of Darts has welcomed some major names in the sport over the four decades of events that have taken place.
Well, they have. I mean, the likes of Phil Taylor, John Lowe, Eric Bristow, young Luke now, who's an honour man in darts, where he's took the world by storm. But his first event that he ever took part in was the when he was 11 was the Isle of Man Open, and he got to the last 16. That was when he was 11, and everybody's like, wow, this kid can play. Young Beau Greaves, she's the top of the ladies that's ever been in the world. For want of a better word, we are a stepping stone to the future for so many dart players.
It's usually attended as well by plenty of local Manx players as well. So how important is it that they get the opportunity to showcase their skills at an event like this?
Oh yeah, and there is special prizes that the government have put up for the furthest man and the furthest lady that get through the tournament, irrespective of whether they win. And there's quite a number of the kids this year have entered the Isle of Man Open that on the youth side have never entered it before, which is great. We've got people this time from 12 different countries coming to the Isle of Man. And to be fair, it's not the easiest place to get to if you're living abroad, because you've got to fly into the UK and then fly out or what have you. So I think it just says how well it is viewed within the darting community of World Darts.
That was Tommy Thompson, Chair of England Darts, with the 2026 International Isle of Man Darts Festival underway at the Villa Marina in Douglas. Entry free for spectators throughout the weekend. Thanks for joining us on Friday Sport Preview this week, and many thanks to my guests. As always, have yourself a wonderful Friday evening and a wonderful weekend as well. But until next time, from us, it's bye for now.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.